So here's my question to you this morning as we get into the Word for a few minutes this morning. What's up when God is silent?
Test.
What's up when God is silent? We're going to go to the book of Matthew. I'm going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane for just a few minutes this morning. In the book of Matthew 26:36, we're going to look at a couple different accounts. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If we can run it on the boards, that'd be great. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here a while I go yonder, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Ever felt like that, church?
Yes.
Very heavy in your spirit? Well, Jesus was no stranger to that. And he says unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Have you ever felt like that, church? Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What a statement from the Almighty God. He's praying to his Father. He's fallen on his face. He's exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he's praying to the one that he has the closest connection with anywhere. And he's saying, God, help me. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will. He was showing his will and his humanity. That was his will. But as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again the second time and prayed again, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, but thy will be done. He said again to his Father, God, can you take this heaviness and the extreme sorrowfulness that I'm feeling and my soul, which is even brought nigh unto death, and can, Father God, is it possible that my will be done in this situation and you take me from this hour? And it was silent in heaven. There was no word between the greatest relationship between a father and a son that could ever be. God spoke no word. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Turn over to the book of Luke. I believe it's 22 now. 39. Luke 22:39. And he came out and went, and as he went to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, now that's Gethsemane, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, what is he asking? Remove this cup from me. That's his will. That's Jesus' will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Did you hear that? He prays more earnestly. And his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he says, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." I just wanted to clearly define that Jesus had a will in Gethsemane, and it was, and the heavens were brass. Heaven was quiet. And my message this morning is, what's up when God's silent? Father, in the name of Jesus, touch us this morning. Open, Father, our hearts and our minds, Lord Jesus, to your will and your ways, Lord God, which are past finding out. Father God, open unto us, Lord Jesus, the encouragement of knowing your will, Father God, in the midst of times and trials, Lord God, and tests and temptation. And bless us this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise God. Are you glad to be in the house of God this morning? Amen?
Amen.
All of us have experienced these times in our lives when we pray and we don't hear anything. We seem to get no direction. We seem to get no answer. And there's times when God is silent in our lives. And to be honest, I don't like it very much, okay? I just have a hard time. I like instant access to God. Don't you want God to be Johnny on the spot for you?
Yeah.
When you say the prayer, I want it now. I remember one of our evangelists, Bill Casey, said this. He said, have you ever dealt with disease? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever had disease in your life?
Yeah.
Well, he said, dis-ease is moving you from ease.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, ease. That's where we get the name from. We want ease. We want there to be ease in our heart and in our life. We want the easiest life now, the most smooth. But dis-ease all of a sudden starts to cramp our style, the way we feel, the way we live. I had a sister-in-law in Florida that was we just visited, and she was going through some issues in her body. And she's in her 30s. She's 33 years old. She was just really, really going through something. And every single one of us want ease when we're going through dis-ease. But when God is silent, faith is being put to the test.
Yep.
I want you guys to know that. When God is silent, your faith is now being put to the test. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight, right?
Yes.
Now, sometimes when that comes to our finances, we're thanking God. Because if we just look by sight at the bills or the things that are racking up, or this has got to be paid, we say, "Lord Jesus, you just take that. You just take that in the area of finance, because I don't want to walk by sight. I know that that's..." Maybe nobody else is with me on that one. You ever been there? Come on.
Yeah,
we're there.
Yeah.
Okay. I tell you what, everybody's there. In America, 47% of the people in America don't have $400 that they can do something with. Okay, so I believe America is pretty much in the same boat, at least 50% of Americans. But many of us are good at walking by our emotions. We live on an emotional roller coaster. We're led by the way we feel. We look at circumstance or lack of circumstance or lack of provision or whatever. And that emotional roller coaster called the feeling of everything begins to sway us and to draw us into these belief systems. Or we start to agree with mindsets or imaginations, and we don't hold everything captive. And that's the number one place where we can be deceived in our heart, is when we're being led by our emotions and not by the Word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But it's not a walk of sight, it's a walk of faith. This morning I want to talk to you about that. How God is working while we may be waiting. And I want to look at the experience of Jesus Christ, and how I want you to see that God was unresponsive, but he wasn't inactive. And I want you guys to see this and feel it this morning, that many times when God seems unresponsive, it doesn't mean that God is angry with you and he's not just Johnny on the spot. It may be that God is working through the situation to teach you something. Many times we think that because God's not talking, that God is not working. I want you guys to know that God is working. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God is always working. He's always on the move. And don't come up with that wrong opinion or that wrong conclusion, because even though God was not responsive while Jesus was praying in the garden, it didn't mean that God was inactive. And I want you guys to see it. In the garden, God was setting in motion a plan that he had enacted. God, through foreknowledge and through time and eternity, had brought Jesus into this earth in perfection. He rode on that donkey on the perfect day. He was his incarnation came at the perfect time. God was perfect. His perfect plan was being laid out to redeem fallen humanity. And God knew exactly what was going on, but we didn't. We don't. We're so finite. We're trying to get our head around the things of God, and I, as a pastor, know less and less every day. Less and less all the time. God's still dealing with me in tremendous ways, trying to get me to trust Him, trying to get me to trust Him in the life in which I'm living, trying to not look at the carnal mind of man, and trying to step away from those things and really begin to trust God. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. Why wasn't God speaking? I mean, God and Jesus were pretty tight. They loved one another. And if you're a man and you've had a son in this life, only that can show you how much a father has for a son. And yet his son went to a cross, and his son's in a quiet place crying out, asking his father, saying, Abba Father, so to speak. Abba Father, would you please, my will is that you move this, take me from this hour. And God was quiet. He didn't say anything. And I feel like a lot of us are probably going through situations in our life. I know that I've been in one through probably about a year. But even since the first of the year, I've had a prayer log. And I've just been praying for Keaton. I've been praying for Jacob. I've been praying for missions and what we do with missions and what we do with different things and where to go and how to and who to bring in. And I ask God about all these things. I seek the face of God for these, and I let God move. The best way to bring in speakers is simply to call out their name in fasting and prayer. Then they'll call you. I've learned that this year. It's God's will be done, not ours. Amen. It's His church. It's not ours. Amen?
Amen.
Why wasn't He speaking during this greatest night of agony for His son? In fact, what in the world was God doing at that time? Was God absent? Was God far? No. I want to give you some suggestions that I think are just going to be practical helps this morning to you. Here's some ideas. I believe that Jesus, when Jesus was praying and God was not answering in the garden, that this is what God was up to. Remember, God was unresponsive, yet not inactive. God was enlisting the help of a brother that was going to come alongside Jesus in the next day or so. His name was Simon of Cyrene. Do you remember that character? Do you remember when Jesus was carrying his own cross up the hill? And another man came and had to pick up the cross and carry the cross for Jesus at a time when he couldn't carry his own cross because he had been scourged and beaten by 600 Roman soldiers. And because he was carrying his own cross up the hill which he created with the wood that he created because he's the creator God, amen. And he was going, and the creator of all things was now going to lay on a cross and die and be extinguished in his life for you and for me. Are you kidding me? My God, he was the creator of everything in heaven and earth, and yet he needed help to carry the very cross up the hill that he was going to be crucified on. But I believe God was already putting it in the heart of Simon of Cyrene. He was talking to him. He was putting in him in time and in eternity along the crowd route that day. That Simon of Cyrene was going to come out of that crowd, and he was going to have compassion. He was going to be in the right framework of mind and heart. And he's going to look on Jesus with compassion and really boldness. He's going to say, I'll help Jesus. I'll help him carry that cross, because that would have taken guts in that crowd. There's an angry mob that's just scourged Jesus. And now they're about ready to hang him on a cross. And something of boldness rose up in that man. And he said, I'll carry it. And it just brings to thought our own life. The Bible says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow after him, right? But maybe God, if God is slow to answer your prayers at this moment, now listen to me. Maybe if that's the situation in your life, he's simply aligning a Simon of Cyrene or somebody to come to your side to pick up the cross because it's too heavy for you at the moment and help carry you to the finish line, okay? God is putting people in your life, and to do that, he's got to align different dreams and different visions and different hearts and different souls with compassion for you and for your ministry or for your walk and for your life. Maybe God's simply doing that, bringing a Simon of Cyrene to your aid, and God is putting that into pass right now. Don't be discouraged, church. God was active even though he wasn't speaking to Jesus. God was moving on a man named Joseph of Arimathea to buy a garden tomb and to loan it to Jesus. But Jesus had no place and no plan for his own burial, no plot. He didn't have a headstone. Jesus wasn't planning his death. Jesus didn't put any stock into the fact of where he was going to be buried. He didn't know. But God was moving ahead of time, and he was saying, Joseph of Arimathea is going to be moved by the power of the Spirit to go by the garden tomb. Now, if we go there in Israel in December, anybody want to go there in December? You guys want to go to Israel and stand in the garden tomb? We've got a lot of opportunities to travel with a lot of great ministries right now and stay for free in Israel. Praise God. But let's go there. Let's stand in the garden tomb and let's realize that that place is empty today. Amen? That place has no contents at all, and that we can stand in a place where Jesus is up and gone from. Amen?
Amen.
But God was putting it on Joseph of Arimathea. He had a little bit of coin, and he was going to buy that tomb and have a proper burial for Jesus Christ. See, God was working all these things out in a myriad of different people because God was working his plan. And Jesus was submissive unto the will of God. Somebody say amen. The other thing, Jesus probably didn't plan his own burial because Jesus didn't plan on being there very long. I'll say it again. Jesus didn't plan on being there very long.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Let me just tell you that the trial that you're in, don't buy property there. Wherever you're at in your trial today, don't buy property there. Don't pitch a tent there. Don't stay in the place of death or burial. Don't stay in that place where you think that it's bad and it might be bad. Don't stay there. Don't plan to stay there very long.
Amen.
Whatever you're struggling with, whatever death that you're going through in your life, there's death, burial, and resurrection, right?
Amen.
You guys have to know that. God doesn't want to keep you there. The Bible says, and quote me on this one, doesn't it say, weeping may endure for a night? Are you with me back here? Weeping may endure for a night. Have you ever heard that scripture?
That's right.
May.
May.
Weeping may. M, yep, A. You got it. I'm just kidding you. Weeping may endure for a night. It may. But what does it say? But joy cometh where?
Morning.
Joy comes in the morning. A night of crying, a night of weeping, a night of, that's in the season of life, weeping may endure for, and it may endure for a night. It may stick around for a night. It may be a season in your life, maybe a year or years or whatever. But joy cometh in the morning. Joy is straight up in the morning like the sun. Amen. Joy is going to reign in our lives by the Son of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's where God wants you to walk in the blessing of this thing. Even through the trials of life. And there are going to be trials in life. Hallelujah. I want you to say, turn to your neighbor and say, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Maybe to some people that is significant this morning that your trial is over. Or God's silence on this issue in your life is over. And breakthrough's coming. When I was at the 50-yard line of Bonifay, Florida, at the youth retreat with 200 kids, 150 kids, whatever it was, a woman came up out of the audience, walked over to me, and I was just hiding in an altar somewhere. She come up to me and she said, I just want you to know that God heard your prayer from the first time that you prayed it. And as sure as a seed has to be watered and planted and nourished and watered and fed to grow, what you prayed for is coming to pass and the season is almost over.
That's right.
Well, gee whiz, I just heard Jeremy Prochaska preach. Now, when a man of God comes by the call of God to speak a word in this church, and a gift is speaking it, an evangelist, I prick my ears to what they're going to say in my pulpit. Amen? Yes. The first message that Jeremy preached was sowing seeds in famine.
That's right.
He said, Aaron, you're sowing seeds in a famine for the Word of God. There's a famine out there. Northeast Nebraska is not interested in the Word of God. But we're sowing seeds anyway. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And then, hallelujah. Now keep sowing, it says. Keep sowing, and ye that sow are going to reap if ye faint not, Galatians says. Amen?
Amen.
Reaping means there's going to be a yielding of production, and there's going to be a harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Church, I'm staying in it for the harvest. I'm going to keep sowing, and God promises that we will reap if we faint not. Every single one of you in your life is going to reap your prayer life. You're seeking the face of God. Your faith in action. You're going to reap unbelievable dividends as you, if you faint not. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You will. Praise God. I pray that weeping is over for some people. Number three, God was preparing Joseph of Arimathea to buy the tomb. Number four, God was also preparing the halls of hell to receive a visit. I want you guys to see this. Jesus made a trip to the belly of the earth. You guys believe that or not? That after Jesus went to that tomb, he didn't stay in that tomb. Amen? For 3 days. He was coming back up in the resurrection, but Jesus went to deal with the devil. He went to deal with the devil for you and for me. Amen? Jesus had already destroyed the devil at the cross, but now he goes and serves up a facial to Satan. And right in his mug begins to declare to him, say, hand over the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Amen? And I believe that Jesus put a whooping on Satan and every demon in hell for about 3 days. I don't know if it's like you see in the Avengers movies where they just grab the legs of the person and go back and forth like this, and he's just whipping him on everything like a fly. So I don't know if that's what it looked like or not. Not trying to be disrespectful, but you know what I'm saying? You ever seen the Hulk grab somebody and just kind of whip them? You know what I'm saying? Okay, was it that? I don't know. But I know that he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And I tell you what, he preached to the departed saints that were in a place called paradise. Did you know that all the faithful people that had lived up until that time were in a place in the center of the earth called paradise? You with me on that? See, they hadn't seen Jesus. They had believed that there would be a Messiah, one that was coming. But now Jesus comes and stands before them in the belly of the earth, and he comes to captivity, and he captivates them right then and there. And he shows them his hands, and he shows them his feet, and he shows them that he's alive from the dead. And the one that they have looked on now, the one that they have looked at his hands, now he's standing before them, and their belief has come to pass. And now they're looking at the very Son of God who has beaten hell, death, and the grave, and just whooped the devil once and for all, and is standing in righteousness. And then at that point, at a certain point, I don't know when it was, he said, come on up with me. And at that point, the graves rose. People rose from the grave all over Jerusalem. They came out of their graves, earthly people coming out of their graves, and they stood as the first fruits of Jesus' resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, church. You can give God a hand clap of praise for that. Not only Jesus was resurrected, but he's resurrected his first fruits right up on onto the ground. It said they were seen by many in Jerusalem, and now they're walking the streets for about 40 days. Amen? But God wasn't done there. He wasn't done at all. But I want to tell you guys, every single person from those old departed saints that had put their faith in Jesus had just met him face to face. I want to say this. Nobody gets to heaven unless they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody gets to heaven unless they be born again.
Amen.
Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
You must be born again is what Jesus Christ said. So I tell you what, your Baptist brother's not getting to heaven, your Presbyterian mother's not getting to heaven, and your Assemblies of God sister is not getting to heaven unless they know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior.
Unless.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
You must know Jesus. See, I'm for everybody. I have lost the denominational tags. I am for everybody that is a believer in Jesus.
Amen.
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 I pray that you guys are too. We're for everybody that's for Christ. And hallelujah, we love them all. It's not about a title or a tag anymore. But look at what God was doing. Look at everything God was doing. And I just think there's so many times in our life where we think God is inactive. God's not saying. God's not moving. I can't get a quick answer from God. And I'm just here in this agony. Anybody ever there? I think God sometimes allows us to stay there until we enter into a personal death over that, whatever it is that we're holding on to. For me, am I going to let God's will be done, or am I going to trust what I think is right? Am I going to just, yes, God, that's the truth, but I haven't heard from you in a while, so I'm just going to go ahead and make this happen, and I'm going to ask you to bless me doing that. Because this is what we do, church, and this is all of us. We plan our lives for ourselves based on our own whims and wills and needs. And then we ask God to come and bless it. And we pray a little prayer that says, God, would you come and bless me in my endeavor? That's where the church has gone wrong. You see that in the life of Christ. He said, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Right? That was His will. It's not about Jesus' will in this situation. The Father said nothing. And I believe I probably asked a lot of prayers. Anybody ever done that? You're praying to God and you're like, dear God, I'm going to ask because I'm supposed to ask. And this is my will. And I'm praying, God, that my will be done. And it's not happening. And it's just quiet in heaven. Church, I'm the only person in here that does things like that, huh? I'm like, Lord, church, I'm ready. I want this upgrade, and I could use this, and vacations are good, and I would love to be able to do this for my family. And God, it seems so quiet. God's not dead.
Amen.
In that tomb, there was in other tombs, there's dead deities. You know what a dead deity is?
No.
A deity is a god, right? Or a supposed god. Every other supposed god is dead, and you can go to their tomb. You go to the garden tomb, there's nobody there but Jesus. There's only life, amen?
Amen?
There's only resurrection power and grace and glory, because Jesus was not about to stay in the tomb or the grave. He was about to move on. It was onward and upward. There was going to be an ascension very, very soon, and not many days hence. 50 days, Pentecost came. I believe God was getting ready to give the disciples one big time blessing. And just like a shuttle, you ever seen the shuttle launch? Anybody ever watched the shuttle launch? Oh, that's kind of cool, you know, Cape Canaveral, and you watch the shuttle, and it's about to go, and you see the boosters, and they're all kicking out fires coming out under the shuttle, and all of a sudden, boom, and it's lifting that thing off the ground like this, and the whole world is shaking, and the towers are falling backwards, and I believe that power and that unction, the same that lifted Jesus from the grave, is now ascending Jesus into heaven, and that power and fire was left on earth as soon as Jesus got there. In 10 days, He sent it right back down to His disciples, and they got jet fuel and power, and flames of fire fell upon the whole early church, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to move this gospel, doing the exact same things that Jesus Christ did on earth now, hallelujah, by the power and unction of a holy God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God was not inactive. God was not being quiet on purpose. He was moving all of these things. He was causing everybody to be there. 120 were obedient, and they got into that upper room out of 540. Think about it. Yes, yes, is God so sovereign that He makes everything happen? No, there's a choice in all these things. We have a choice to make. If we're going to be a part of the will of God, Jesus had a choice to make. Can you imagine if Jesus said, He didn't hear anything from His Father, and He just said, you know, I think I'm going to stick around here a little bit longer and pal around with Judas. Not good. Any of you guys palling around with Judas, by the way? A betrayer of Jesus Christ? That wasn't in the notes. No. Jesus had a will. It was overridden by God. And God submitted to that will, and we've got to submit to the will of God. Yes. And when we do, there will be a death to whatever it was that we wanted to do. But then there comes the life of the resurrection. There comes the opening of the tomb. I believe that God was getting the gardeners ready that morning. Remember, there was gardeners out there at the garden tomb that morning. There was a big Easter celebration, big Resurrection Sunday celebration that morning. And Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb. And then Peter and John, remember, they had a race to the tomb. And there was a gardener there and said, "Who are you looking for? He's not here." I believe God was preparing all of those things as testimonies for those people's and changed lives that they'd come back. God was in the mix of all of these things, preparing people to see God and to realize that God was alive from the dead. Praise the name of Jesus. While God was silent, He was preparing that cemetery. It was going to be God's stage that had to be set. And I tell you the truth, that on the third day, Jesus Christ was risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose victorious over hell, over death, over the grave. And Jesus is victorious today over the hell that you may be facing in your life, whatever is going on, over the guilt, over the shame. Young people, old people, if you're facing sin, if you're facing sickness, and you're going to face all of these things in your life, but there's an overcoming power, and His name is Jesus, and He has already stood and led everybody out of that. He burst forth through doors and windows and tombs and walked through everything else. He did it. He went to hell and back for you and for me, and Jesus is alive today.
Amen.
Church, we've got to trust in this God that's alive. And Jesus, hallelujah, even when you're quiet and it doesn't seem that you're speaking, and a lot of us are just doing this thing, we're doing a triple take. Lord, what are you doing? That may be the most active time that God is working in your life. I grew up on a farm, and Dad always taught me that the bottom ground was the most fertile ground. You're going to get your hundredfold crop out of that bottom ground is going to produce it better than those hills. Sometimes when we feel like we're at the bottom, we don't realize that God's investing into us. So you've asked Him, and you sought Him, and you've heard nothing. Well, maybe the stage is being set in your life. Young person, maybe God has just set the stage and the sealed tomb looks like it's over for you. I want to tell you, it's not over for anybody. Don't you fret and don't you worry. Don't get all anxious like I would do. Romans 8:28 says, all things are working together for them who love the Lord. Amen? Doesn't it say that? So He tells me, sitting in this parking lot, and I'm just as anxious. It's like I've been drinking 20 bottles of Mountain Dew. And I'm just sitting there, Lord, I want to do this, and Lord, I want to do this, and I'm happy, happy Aaron, and I want to go. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And I want to see things happen. Come on, Lord. And the Holy Spirit, the last time He spoke to me, I'm sitting in the parking lot up there on the hill, Marlis. You know what He said to me? Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Okay, God, I know that was You. But what about all these plans that I want to enact and get going? No, He's saying, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord is what He's saying. And He may be saying, wait upon the Lord to you. You may be in a period where it feels like the cross, and you have a certain desire, your will wants to come forward, but you've got to submit that, surrender it to God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Praise God. God was making an upper room for that church to energize the believers. God was touching Joseph of Arimathea. God was touching you today. What I want you guys to know is that God was far from inactive in all of these things. And to me, it shows the vulnerability of God. God was so invested that He was going to allow His Son to die, that you could live. God was so invested in the redemption of human beings that He was going to allow salvation to happen by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We sing about the precious blood, but can you imagine in your own mind what it would be to have to put a child on the cross and to see him in agony? And Jesus was simply saying that I love you so much. I love the people of this world and this community out here so much that I am willing to send Jesus to the cross and for him to taste the agonies of the cross, because my love for you has to accomplish the redemption of you. That messed me up just thinking about it. We all know what blood is, but to watch somebody bleed and to turn your head as he takes the sin for man. I want you guys to know this. There's a plan of God for your life. Listen to me. As sure as you were a twinkle in your mom and dad's eye, before that, there was a purpose and a plan that God had for your life, individually and specifically. The devil did everything to abort that through the sin nature and to get you so lost out in this world and so destroyed and wrecked and abused and lied to and into the world and following false gods. That's what he's done to everybody in here. But God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ reached into that. And he reached in to pull you out and to save you. If you're born again, raise your hand. Jesus saved you. Amen? Amen. Jesus saved you. But you guys have to realize this. If there's a real purpose and plan for your life, our self will develop a counterfeit that just says, no, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to live. This is what I want to do. And today, we've got to find the perfect will of God. Amen. Write this down. Between a prayer and a miracle lies a waiting period. Between a prayer and a miracle lies a waiting period. Some are short and some are long. Benjamin Franklin said this, "He that has patience can have what he wills." He that has patience can have what he wills. The question is, do you have enough patience to wait on God? Romans 8, 24 and 25 says this. We are saved by hope. Maybe put this on the board for the people, if you would. Romans 8, 24 and 25. We are saved by hope. Hope means you don't have it yet. Hope means you don't have it yet. I'm hoping. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'm looking for a city, but I haven't seen the mansion yet. I'm believing God. I'm hoping on it. Amen. I'm believing my salvation. I know it's there. I have total assurance. Don't get me wrong. But I still have hopes and dreams and visions that haven't come to pass yet. And I'm still hoping. And in the silent time, I want to ask you, are you a person of impatience or are you a person of perseverance? Perseverance, even when you don't see it come to pass quickly? Or do you get like Aaron and you're just anxious and you're jittery and you just want to make things happen and you're ready to outrun God? I want you to be a person of patience. I'll read you a scripture, Hebrews 10, 35 through 37. Hebrews 10, 35 through 37 says this, "Cast not away therefore your confidence." Put a confidence in your faith in God, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, all of you guys, because you're still hoping for a lot of things. You're hoping so much for a lot of things. That after you have done the will of God, underline that. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. There's the promise. And he will not tarry. The question is, will we do the will of God? And I want you to know that you may pray the prayer, but there may be a bit of waiting before that miracle happens. He's saying it's going to come and it will not tarry. Your dreams, your future, your hope, the thing that you're praying for is coming to pass. But do the will of God and seek the face of God and it will come to pass. Never mistake God's silence for His inactivity. God is working while you are waiting. You guys all just have to pick up your Bible. Look at Noah. There was a waiting period of 120 years for Noah. For Noah to get people onto that ark, and one day it rained. Rain started to pelt the ark. There was a time period. When Israel was in Egyptian bondage, God was conceiving a deliverer through Moses' mommy. They were in bondage and slavery, held captive. We sang the song, "I'm no longer slaves." Amen? Amen. That was a picture and a type of what this is all about. But through Moses' mother, God was bringing a conception of a child that was called out before the foundation of the world to be a deliverer of a people. Now, did that happen right away?
No.
Mama started nursing it. God had it all worked out, right? Mm-hmm. But then there was another 20 years where Moses was just a shepherd in Jethro's pastures, and he was learning how to shepherd. See, there was a time period before the promise came for the deliverance of the people. Gideon, the same way. We're winding it down. Gideon, the same way. They were in bondage to was it the Midianites or whatever, for 20 years. And God is finding a man named Gideon. And Gideon is hiding because he's afraid of everything that's going on. And Gideon is threshing in a floor when no one else is around. And God speaks to Gideon, who is totally in fear of everything else that's around him like this. And He speaks to him and He says, "Thou mighty man of valor, of truth and courage, thou mighty man of valor." He speaks to the man, even though circumstance and influence don't look anything like courage. It looks like total fear. So God is calling people out. God is speaking to people. God is raising up deliverance. And even when God is quiet, young people, old people, and you haven't seen your prayer answered, like Johnny on the spot, trust me and trust God that this is God's way and this is how He works all through time and eternity. Amen. Is that comforting?
Yes.
It is. He's molding us and He's making us into what He wants us to be. He's doing it largely through every season of waiting. He's doing it through seasons of waiting in your life. That's how He makes you, through seasons of great waiting. I could give you testimony after testimony after testimony, Bible verse after Bible verse. But here's one guy that I'll close with. Stephen said this. Remember Stephen? I would think, Stephen, man, he's getting stoned to death. They're picking up rocks and they're stoning him, and it's crushing his cheeks and it's crushing his head. And the lump, and he's saying, "Dear God," I would think that he would just say, "God, where are you at in this?" God was quiet, but was he inactive?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. It said that Jesus stood up at the right hand of the Father to receive him. Amen? He wasn't inactive at all. Not only that, there was a younger man named Saul there who was holding the coats while they were throwing rocks. Do you think God was actively influencing him at that moment when he saw Stephen with the face of an angel? Even through persecution, even through death, even through death, burial, and resurrection, even through this life that's a journey of Jesus Christ, God is moving and working everything for your good. Here's the problem. Here's the issue. We always have this idealistic way that we think we want to live the great American dream. God's not as interested in that as you are. Amen? But God is interested in this, conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And He's using all these things to turn you left or to turn you right when you want to go straight, or He may go this way or this way. And honestly, the best place to be is just in the Holy Spirit being led of the Lord. Yes. And letting Mary, wouldn't you like to just kind of see, forecast the future, like 5, maybe 10 years, and just to know everything's going to be all right and everything's going to be great? And wouldn't you sometimes, God, I'm tired of waiting. Sierra, wouldn't you kind of like to know that there's going to be, everything's going to be taken care of? The reason God doesn't show us and the reason we see through a glass dimly is because if He showed us, He just gives us breadcrumbs so He can lead us. He does that to protect us. Because if we could see what may come, not that it's going to be horrible, there's going to be mountains to move and grace that abounds. But we probably wouldn't follow Him like we think we would. Because He's interested in pushing us into the refiner's fire that's going to conform us into the image of Jesus. And God has a prescription then for every person of how to get that out of them. A prescription. So He gives us breadcrumbs, which is His grace, because Jesus is ultimately interested in saving us. Jesus wants to save us. He wants to save us from ourselves. He wants to save us and redeem us out of this world. And He wants to set our hearts ablaze and make us just like Him.